every care on him to roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken, and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty power.
Hymn 129 next is the Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, 129 in the Big Book. Let's stand if you're able and make a joyful noise.
Chapter 4. Forasmuch then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, and he no longer should live and rest this time in the flesh of the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in lustfulness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable ideology, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account of him that is ready to judge quick as the dead? For for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. If God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom we be praise and dominion forever and ever. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trail which is trying you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him, in well doing as unto a faithful Creator. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
The reading, appreciate that this morning. The verses in 2 Peter, 1st and 2 Peter, and then 1. Just want to remind everybody this morning about the wee red prayer list. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add to the prayer list? That's good news. We'd like to pray for a wee man called Eddie in Lincoln Courts. I think he needs to be saved. I just noticed a message or a missed call on the church phone, so that might have been him. He definitely did miss it, so pray about that for me if you would. Anything else? You got one line? No? Okie doke. Anybody, any private prayer requests? 1, 2, 3, 4. I got that. Please do, don't forget to pray for Frank, Pat and Steve. Please remember Catherine as well. and John and Stephen and Carol, Colin, and I think that's about that. Don't forget to pray for each other too. And there is a lot going on in the world. Please do pray for the Lord's will to be done. And don't be afraid to lean on what the Bible says rather than what popular opinion is at any given time. Popular opinion and democracy, unfortunately, is going to take a lot of people straight to hell. It does say the vast majority of people will end up in the broad road that leads to destruction, and only those that listen to God will end up on the straight and the narrow road that leads to life. So remember that. Remember that. Right, we'll have a word of prayer. Will, would you pray for us, and then we'll sing the
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for bringing us wonderful and the means to come into your house today, Lord. We look more for another, Lord. Give us the best, Lord. Give us the, your grace, Lord. And we bountifully place a good holy name and do service to you and your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for salvation, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the gift of life, Lord, as well, Lord. It's free then with it. We call upon the Lord Jesus for salvation, Lord. With the people on the courts and throughout the year, and Lord, throughout the war side, Lord, the trash went through both yesterday and days, months, and years before, Lord. Use it by the Spirit, Lord, to convict the readers of those trash, Lord, and save their souls by the power of the Lord, as possible, bring them back to church as well, Lord. So, Pastor John, wherever they may be, with Frank, Lord, keep him safe and well, Lord, minister on to him, Lord, and bring him back to church as well, Lord. We have also called, Lord, bless me in the trouble, Lord. Keep him safe and well, Lord. Defend him and keep him, Lord. Minister on to him, Lord. And draw a closer walk with thee, Lord, as well, Lord. Save Stephen, Carl, and John, Lord. Bring him out to church as well, Lord. With Pat and Steve, Lord. With Steve, Lord, be mighty, heal him, mighty, powerfully. Give him strength, Lord. Give him grace, Lord. Bless me in trouble, Lord. And help him this shoot as well. For his health as well, Lord. And of course, him, and give him people of health, Lord. Mighty and powerful, Lord. Also, we have John Barfield, Lord. Keep him safe and well, Lord. That's well, Lord. Also, we have Catherine Burns for church. Stay with soul, Lord. Mighty and powerful, as well, Lord. And we have any acts of brother, mighty for God, Lord. Save them, so, save them if they be lost, Lord. And Lord, Mr. Arthur, as well, to be saved, Lord. And hold them as well, Lord. And I'm closer to walk with me. With Marcus comes to double his gospel, Lord. Take away the straight thoughts, Lord. And Lord, may our thoughts, our minds, and our souls be more in tune with thee, Lord, as we pray that it should be, Lord, and bring us into a new quest every week. We also pray for Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. We're going to sing another song. If you'd like to take the wee black hymn book and turn to number 5. This is an even older hymn. This is from Psalm 23. The Lord's My Shepherd. Hymn number 5 in the black book. We'll remain seated as we sing.
Thank you.
started a little bit late. But we're not trying to hit any deadlines. And so with all of that extra time we have in mind, why don't we do number 34? Number 34 is, as I call it, it's the hymn with a story. Jehovah said, "Can you?" And if you're able, why don't you stand with me as we sing hymn number 34. Amen. Let's make a joyful noise.
Danger and bear.
ask that you would extend that to me for a little bit longer as we get into our message for the morning. This time is from the book of Jeremiah, just a handful of verses, Jeremiah chapter 9, if you would care to join me there, and if not, please do give me your ears for a moment or two. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 to 26, four verses, and I would like to bring you a couple of thoughts on the subject of 6,000 years of judgment and salvation. Jeremiah 9, 23 to 26, 6,000 years of judgment and salvation. The Word of God says, Jeremiah 9 and 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, and let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised, Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all that are in the utmost corners that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. Amen. Verse number 24 there will be our particular text this morning. And I would like to bring you a few thoughts and examples, historical and biblical examples of 6,000 years of judgment and salvation. Let's pray and then we will continue. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we can come before you at any time. Lord, that you're just waiting to help us with all of the thoughts and desires and notions that we have that shoot through our heads, good and bad, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would minister to each one of us this morning and our absent brethren. Please be with Frank as he finishes off his first week in his new job. Please put your good hand in calling and pray, Lord, for his life. For Christine and Marianne, for John and Carol and Stephen, Catherine and Rebecca and Lauren, for Pat and Steve, we mentioned them already, and for each one of us as well. For Ed Bissett, for Stan and the folks in Bangor, for Glenn Wilkinson, Lord Johnny Campbell, for Lord D. Home and abroad, Lord, all those that dare and make a point of preaching the full counsel of your word. Please let it be a help to souls, Lord. Please convict even now. We love you and thank you. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 I'm actually reading through the book of Jeremiah with Monica. We have our breakfast, and then we read a chapter of Jeremiah, and it is a very thought-provoking book. It is well worth a read as you get a little bit of an insight into the desire that one of these men of God, this prophet of old, had for his countrymen, and the things that were said and done in order to bring his fellow countrymen to the foot of the cross, and sadly, the things that were said and done to draw them away from the foot of the cross. Jeremiah 24 is our text. And God is like a three-legged stool. It'll never wobble. You might wobble on the stool, as the fellow says, you might wobble on the stool that is God, but God will never wobble underneath you. And the Lord said to Jeremiah, and he wanted Jeremiah to tell the children of Israel, I am a God of loving kindness. But don't forget, I am also a God of judgment and righteousness, because I love these things, I delight in. I think the people in the day of Jeremiah were very much like the people today. People never change, clothes change, contents of our pockets change, how we see in the dark changes, but human nature never changes. Thankfully, God never changes either. Sadly, many people think that God is okay with sin. They do. They think he is the God of loving kindness. And part of him is. When asked to explain this many times, I will say, God's loving kindness is extended to us in grey hairs. In fillings. In sore backs. In surgeries. Because if God wasn't loving and kind to us, we would all be dead. Because we have broken his laws so many times. So his kindness is extended towards us in the years of the lives that we have had. In his patience, in the testimony of the creation, the historical testimony of the nation of Israel, and the very personal testimony to us of the words of Jesus Christ this last 2,000 years to anyone that cares enough to find out what they are. That is God's loving kindness. And a lot of people, we need that. We need the loving kindness. Just like little children need hugs and kisses. And they need playtime. We need that. But we also need judgment and righteousness. We need rules. And we need standards. And people forget that. People forget that there is a standard. There is a height that we must reach in order to get to heaven. And I don't mean 25 or 30,000 foot in the air. I mean in our growth, in our spiritual cleanliness. There is a height that we need to reach. There is a righteousness that we need to attain to. God, in the form of man, Jesus Christ, said that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you'll not get into the kingdom of heaven. And you need to bear in mind that God gave all the rules to the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were devoted practitioners of all of these rules. And Jesus said, your righteousness needs to be greater than theirs. In other words, nobody has a chance without God. And this judgment, we don't like judgment. We don't like punishment. And we're coming to a point where we are becoming more and more a lawless society, where people can quite literally kill people and get away with it. People don't like judgment. People that are doing the wrong thing don't like a finger being pointed at them and said, you're wrong. Nobody likes to have a finger pointed at them and say, you're wrong. It's very hard to say, I've been wrong. I am sorry. It's good to practice it in case you ever are, but it's very hard to do. God says his whole word points a finger at us and says, we have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. That is my judgment. You are guilty. The penalty for sin is death. I am thankful that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. God is not okay with sin. And it doesn't matter if the government says it's legal. And it doesn't matter if the church says it's legal. And it doesn't matter if all your mates say it's okay. Sin is still sin. And you will only ever be forgiven your sins, past, present, and future, and they're all still liable. There's no, what do they call it, statute of limitation? Statute of limitation. There's no statute of limitations on sin. You will only be forgiven when you or I ask God to forgive us our sins and are sorry enough to change, to become that new creature in Christ. We also see, as we read this portion of God's word, that there is another fallacy that we like to hold on to. We like to think we are a special case. We do. Oh, I'm good mates with God, I can do whatever I like. Or because my name is Bradfield, I'll always have a welcome in a Bradfield house. Maybe not. But that's what we like to think. Or because I know Norman, I'll always get a cup of tea in Norman's. Or I know Dr. Shine, I'll always get a cup of tea at Dr. Shine. We like to think that we are special and that the rules don't apply to us. But this is also what the Lord said. The Lord is no respecter of persons. Nobody is any better than anybody else, and nobody is any worse than anybody else. And these last two verses that we read, they tell us that. The children of Israel thought that they were special because God gave them so many victories, blessed them with bountiful harvests, even went out and fought wars for them before they even got there. Many times slaughtering tens of thousands of enemy soldiers, just like that. The Lord said, look, the same judgment is for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're uncircumcised, it doesn't matter if you're circumcised. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, the same judgment is there for all men. Even among the Ammonites and Moabites, who are strictly forbidden from joining the children of Israel, God said, you will be treated exactly the same as them. Everybody's the same, folks. We're all the same fallen creature, and we all need the same Savior. And there is a judgment coming for each and every one of us. And if you're lost, it comes at the end of your life, when your life is over, and you stand in front of God at the great white throne of judgment, maybe after sizzling in the pan in hell for a little bit. And God says, right, let's see what you did. And people say, well, I did this, and I did that, and I did something else, and I did this. And God's going to say, well, you see, a lot of that stuff that you did, you should have been doing that anyway. That's called natural love and affection. And it shows you how far we have fallen whenever we think it's special to be a good neighbor, or a good spouse, or a good son. Friends, God said, I will check your good deeds against your bad, but you're not going to get into heaven off the back of your good or bad deeds. You'll only get into heaven because you trusted in my Son as your Savior. Revelation 20 says, everybody whose name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will suffer that eternal judgment, that eternal punishment. For the Christian, your judgment starts in this world. And the moment the Holy Spirit starts convicting you and telling you, hold on a wee second, you're a sinner. Taps you on the shoulder a lot, pricks your conscience and says you're a sinner. You need to get right with God and be thankful for feeling bad about that. That's not an excuse to drink or to do drugs. That's an excuse for you to open your Bible and get down on your hands and knees and say like the man in the synagogue, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's what that's for. And then your sins are paid for, and as the Lord said, you're set to free. Not appointed to judgment anymore. You've been judged, found guilty, death paid, and set free. That's the Christian life. Or the Christian eternity. People don't like that. You know what? Sometimes I don't even like preaching about this because it seems to put a bit of a downer on things. But we need to understand God, the Bible is not a book that someone sat down, it took them a year to write and published it. There's like 40 authors over a period of nearly 4,000 years wrote this book. Some were paupers, some were soldiers, some were kings, some were ministers, some were magistrates, and some of them were just itinerant preachers. And they all agree, every single one of them. Now, will and John and Norman and me, we were talking outside. We live within, literally within 2 miles of each other as the crow flies. And we can't even agree on what's good to watch on TV. Will might enjoy a football match. Norman might. I don't know if John's a football man or not. I would far rather go to the dentist and get both my crowns sorted out than watch Manchester United play whoever Manchester United can play and beat. Honestly. And yet these men came from ages apart. And they agreed totally on the God of the Bible. There is a judgment. And never believe for a moment that you're a special case. God loves you as an individual, but he loves every individual. And he wants to save you as an individual, just like he wants to save every individual. And he has given us these examples in the Bible so that we can read them and we can understand that the people back then were the same as the people today, and the people back then behaved the same as the people did today, and the judgment of God fell back in the day just like it will fall today. I came up with a handful of options. The first one was Noah. Noah was 500 years old when God said to him, Noah, this place is a train wreck. I'm going to wipe it out. And by the time Noah was 600 years old, he had an ark built. He had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, that were married. And he was loading the ark. Or should I say, God was loading the ark. And all that time in between, I am sure Noah was a stick in the mud. Oh, you don't want to go out to the brothel. You don't want to go out to the drug den. You don't want to go out to the pub. I said, no. God says I shouldn't do those things. Now I'm sticking them up. And you can imagine the stick that he got whenever he started building a boat in the middle of a field in the biggest wooden structure that has ever been built that floated in water. And they laughed at him. I'm sure they mocked him and persecuted and belittled him. Called him a fruitcake. That all stopped when the water started coming up above their knees. And when the hands started banging on the side of the ark after God had saved them in. The floods came up and every single thing that had the breath of life in it, the Bible says, died. And it was a year later when the floods receded and Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and all of their wives got out of the ark and repopulated the world. And it is not, it is mathematically possible and provable that everybody in the world came from those 8 people. It is not a fairy tale. It is not an allegory. It is a biblical fact. And if you ever have a really nifty wee timeline thing here, and if you ever look at it and read it properly, you will see that Abraham knew Noah. And that's just crazy. But there you go. Just all you got to do is have a wee look at it, and you will see that Abraham knew Noah. Noah, who would have been like 950 years old whenever he died, and Abraham, he was a sprightly 175 years old whenever he died. People were bad. They rejected the counsel of God. God warned them of judgment. The people laughed and said, it'll never happen. Everything's just the same as ever. And judgment came, and it was too late for a lot of people. Sodom and Gomorrah, a very touchy subject in the Bible at the moment. Most people don't like to speak about it. That's where we get the term sodomy, for unnatural physical relationships between two men. They caused a lot of bother. The Lord said the cries of the little children come up before him. He was going to sort it out. Because remember, the angels of little children do always behold the face of their father in heaven. Abraham got judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah, bargained down to that. Lord, if there's 10 good people, if there's 10 godly people in Sodom and Gomorrah, would you spare it? He says, of course I will. So Abraham was doing his mental arithmetic. There's Lot and his wife, that's two churchgoers. There's two daughters, that's another two churchgoers. And he must have had three other kids at least. And hoped that those three married kids married Christian people, so there would be 10 righteous people. And Abraham was hoping and praying. Oh, I've saved the city. I've saved the city. And of course, whenever the two angels got to Sodom and Gomorrah, there was only 4 righteous people. We're even a bit questionable about those. And they were warned. Judgment's going to come. In fact, Lot was grieved about it. And I am sure he warned people about, look, God says. And Lot was even a judge. He was that good of a man. He even made him a judge. And he told his children, and they laughed at him and mocked at him. In fact, everybody laughed at him and mocked at him. They were going to give him a good seeing to. It's been like this our whole lives. Why should we believe a single thing you say? You're nuts. Until the angel lifted Lot and his wife and 2 daughters and ran for the hills, and fire and brimstone rained down upon Sodom and Gomorrah and utterly destroyed them. They were warned. Does anyone remember Nineveh? Jonah was told by God, Nineveh, the great robber city, I'm going to level it. I'm going to utterly destroy it. But they need a chance at salvation first. And so Jonah went into this great city. He was sent, go to Nineveh and tell him. And Jonah said, you must be joking. I want to see these people get in judgment. I want to see the place raised to the ground. God says there's over 100,000 people in that city. So, you all know the story. Jonah headed the other direction. He ended up in the belly of a great fish, probably a huge shark. And the shark vomited him out after 3 days and night on the undersea express from where he was to where God needed him to be, onto the beach. Can you imagine? You ever see those orcas, the big orcas beaching themselves, looking up for a sailor, somebody dressed in black? And this thing beaches itself, throws Jonah out covered in seaweed and stinking of fish guts. And he walks a day or a day and a half into the middle of Nineveh. And he starts preaching. He says, judgment is going to fall. If you don't get right with God, you'll all be killed. And I guess the testimony of God and his witness and the fact that a shark just threw a preacher up on a beach in one of the most backslidden evil times in the face of the world was enough to change the minds of everybody. And they all got saved. Sometimes it does end up well. Does anyone remember Egypt in the time of the children of Israel? Egypt, the great savior to Jacob and his son. Joseph, the man that saved Egypt from the 7 years of awful famine. And they were safe there for a couple of 100 years. And then they were persecuted by a king that didn't know Joseph or didn't care to know Joseph. And he was warned time and time again, let my people go. And every time the Pharaoh, why would I send away my workforce, my laborers? And he kept saying, no, no, no. I'm not letting you go. Get everybody back to work again. And they made fun of them, and they mocked at them, and they laughed at them, and they refused to listen. When the waters turned to blood, when there was a plague of frogs and locusts and lice and fleas and lightning running along the ground, setting fire to everything, and hailstones and darkness. And I think wasn't there some sort of moraine, I think they called it, on the cattle. And people were getting pelted with God's judgment. And all God said is, let my people go. Let them go. And at the very end of it all, he killed their firstborn in every house. Everybody that didn't have the blood of the lambs dipped on the doorposts and the lintels with hyssop. Everybody that lost the firstborn son. And then God enabled them to spoil the Egyptians, to take all their money. Their hearts were so broken when they came to offer them money. They just said, here, take it all. Nothing means anything to us anymore. And at the very, very end, God destroyed their military. All because they refused to let God's people go. Because they persecuted God's people. As we're reading in Jeremiah, if you read on, you'll come across eventually a young fella called Daniel. Daniel, who lived through the judgment that Jeremiah was warning about. Many of you will be killed if you don't obey God. If you obey God, you'll save your lives. But if you don't, you'll be killed. And they had many preachers. We were reading in Jeremiah this morning. Many ministers standing up and saying, oh, God will save us all. He's always saved us in the past. Never mind that we never turn up at church, and we don't tithe, and we don't worship and praise Him, and we're out at the drinking and partying and carrying on. And the churches are full of paganism. Don't worry about that. God will save us. There'll be peace. Jeremiah warned these people for years. The prophets are liars. Judgment is coming. And if you bow the knee to God and accept what you know is right, you'll save your lives. Some of them did. Many of them didn't. Lost their lives. Those that obeyed God, they ended up serving notable names, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their lives were spared, but I want to give you a little bit of information again. They were put in the ward of the keeper of the eunuchs. They got castrated for their problems. Even though they obeyed God, all our people's stupid decisions still affected them. And they were there for like 70 years, being kept down, I'm sure being mocked and laughed at by many of people. Nebuchadnezzar, I believe, got saved. But eventually the Babylonians were judged. Do you remember, did you ever hear the old saying, the writing on the wall? When Nebuchadnezzar's son was making fun of the Jews and taking drink out of the stuff that they used in the temple, a hand appeared and wrote, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, which basically means your kingdom has been weighed in the balances, it has been found wanting, and it has been given to the Medes and the Persians. And that very night, the kingdom was destroyed. And the Medes and the Persians came in and took over. We didn't mention Jericho. It was judged for standing against God. But God's two spies entered in and they were received well by a prostitute called Rahab. Everybody else was terrified of what was going to happen. God says the city's judged. It will be yours, God said to Joshua. And of course we know the story about how they walked around Jericho once every day for the first 6 days, seven times in the last day, and at the very end, everybody shout and blow the trumpets as loud as you can. And all the walls fell down and they rushed in and they killed everyone except for one person who trusted in God. And the really weird thing is, which shows you how amazing God's salvation is, all of the walls fell flat except for Rahab's house that was on the walls that had let down the scarlet thread for the two spies to make their escape. Everybody in that house was saved. God will judge. The Philistines were beaten over and over by the Jews. The best example being David and Goliath. Unfortunately, many scholars believe that Philistines has been corrupted into Palestine, which is what Israel was called before it declared independence. But even the Jews themselves, who were told for thousands of years that Jesus was coming, they were told what to look for. They were even given a clock at about 483 years when Jesus would ride into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. They were told. And yet they still rejected him. They still persecuted him. They still mocked and laughed at everybody that was associated to him. And they managed to get him put to death. And what did they say? When Pilate washed his hands 3 times. Herod couldn't find anything wrong. Pilate couldn't find anything wrong. They said, his blood be upon us and our children. And they got exactly that. And for the last 2,000 years, and still today, they are the most unreasonably hated people in this world. For no reason other than that they are God's people. There's one more judgment coming. Well, one more period of time in which judgment is coming. God has been warning about it for 2,000 years. He's even filled in all the details for us in the book of Revelation. And whenever we stand and preach or we say to people, look, you need to get right with God, what do people do? They laugh. They mock. You're a holy Jew. You're a Mormon. You're a Jehovah's Witness because they're the ones that go out and preach the gospel. Friends, just like every single other instance in history where people have laughed and mocked at the warnings of judgment, we've only read a few of them here, it happened. And the people that laughed and mocked at God ran afoul of his judgment. Creation preaches a message that there's a God. History has shown us that there is a penalty, a judgment for rejecting God, not just here, but also in eternity. God has been using the nation of Israel, sometimes not always to their very best, to show his blessing and chastening. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit speaks to everybody. It's poured out on all flesh, convicting of sin and strengthening and comforting those that accept it. But there's also an invitation from God, and that's extended to everybody. And everybody has a free will, and you can accept or reject. It's entirely up to you. The Lord is telling mankind throughout all of history, using all of these examples, there is a judgment for those that reject God's counsel. But, and I am thankful there is a but, there is a salvation for all those that accept him, that put their faith in Christ alone as their Savior. I know this is the longest period in history, in the history of the world, that God has not directly dealt with his people. He has dealt with them according to prophecy, but he hasn't produced any new books. He said, don't add anything to the book. Don't take anything away from the book. It's just good the way it is. 2,000 years now. You need to remember that whether it's a day or whether it's 1,000 years, God is faithful. It's not just a fairy tale. You need to understand that God always keeps his word. And as it said in a couple of excellent places in the Old Testament, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In other words, God said it was going to happen. God will make it happen. There's 21 judgments coming, and you can read about them in Revelation chapter 6 through 16. Using the benefit of all of the knowledge that we have in this day and age, many of them you will see are quite feasible, even by us now. Did they have science fiction back in Jesus' day? They were pure fantasy back in Jesus' day. For those that are saved, 100% salvation rate, complete avoidance. For those that reject it, it's a 50% fatality rate here and now. That's not good odds. And any bookie would say you were crazy to go on those odds. God doesn't want that for anyone. He never has. You just think about how many scarlet threads could have been let down through windows in the city of Jericho and how many houses could have been saved. You think about all the people that were saved in by Jonah preaching the cross in Nineveh. You think about the ones and twos that were saved in Israel when the rest of the country was judged. God has never wanted to judge people, but people put themselves there. People have laughed and mocked and persecuted and belittled and even killed. And they still are. Just like all the other times. And just like all the other times, judgment will come. This is this age of grace. This is the time in which people get to say, do you know what, God? That Pastor Bradfield is very... can't even think of the words and say them with a straight face. He's very articulate. Not only that, but he's very good looking. And he cuts a fine figure of a man. He's very engaging and persuading. I am going to listen to what he said and consider all these periods in mankind's history where you have judged people but given them an option to get saved. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to look into it. People still laugh at you. And people still mock at you. But there's going to come a time when there'll be a... let us in! Let us in! But then it'll be too late. God doesn't want that for anybody. I don't want it for anybody. But I can't make people do what they don't want to do. Even God doesn't take that agency away from people. He lets us make up our own mind. Like everybody that accepted his salvation in times past, they avoided a life of uncertainty and an eternity in hell in the lake of fire. And they gained a home in heaven with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all of his holy angels, all the saved of every generation, forever, and a new and a glorified body to enjoy it with. It is going to be very interesting times. It's going to be incredible times for the Christian. It'll be perilous times for those that aren't. Please do consider, whenever you go to speak to someone or be a testimony to someone, you might be the last lifeline that person ever gets. So, anyway, thank you for your good time. God bless you. I'm going to sing a closing hymn. And then we will be finished for the morning service. I am looking for one called You Must Be Born Again. Hymn number 253. If you'd like to stand with me as we sing. 253 in the big books. You Must Be Born Again.
I once came to Jesus by night.
attention. Apologies again for the late start. I would love to blame John, but it's all my fault. my apologies. God bless you. Let's bow our heads and be dismissed with a wee prayer. Heavenly Father, please bless us as we part company and head home. And help us, Lord, to digest and remember your word and make them part of our lives. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. And I pray you, Lord, for our daily bread, day by day, as we go through this life. Please continue to work in the world. Please continue to convict souls of sin and judgment to come. And Lord, show them a great and a loving and loving God and a free forever and sure salvation. Leave these things at your feet with our private prayer requests along with our calls for Israel, Lord. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. We are dismissed. Amen.
God bless you, Ling. It's good to see you.